Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm Andrew McDermott. Today's podcast features some stimulating remarks prepared by philosopher and mathematician William Dembski for a recent Discovery Institute event here in Seattle. Dembski is the author or editor of more than 20 books, as well as the writer of peer-reviewed articles spanning mathematics, engineering, philosophy, and theology. A past philosophy professor, he retired in 2014 from active research and teaching in intelligent design to focus on the connections between freedom, technology, and education. Dembski has taught at Northwestern University, the University of Notre Dame, and the University of Dallas. He has done postdoctoral work in mathematics at MIT, in physics at the University of Chicago, and in computer science at Princeton University. His doctorate in mathematics from the University of Chicago focused on chaos and uniform probability. His groundbreaking 1998 book, The Design Inference, Eliminating Chance Through Small Probabilities, was published with Cambridge University Press and analyzes the connections linking chance, probability, and intelligent causation. For the official launch of Discovery Institute's Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, Dembski offered some bracing reflections on the future of artificial intelligence and the new center's purpose and goals. I'm pleased to bring you an excerpt from those reflections now. How humans can thrive in a world of increasing automation. Zero evidence supports the view that machines will attain and ultimately exceed human intelligence. And absent such evidence, there is zero reason to worry that they will. So how do we see that clearly despite the hype? We see it by understanding the nature of true intelligence, as exhibited in a fully robust human intelligence, so that we do not confuse it with artificial intelligence. What has artificial intelligence accomplished to date? AI has, no doubt, an impressive string of accomplishments. Chess-playing programs, Go-playing programs, and Jeopardy-playing programs just scratch the surface. Consider Google's search business, Facebook's tracking and filtering technology, and the robotics industry. Automated cars seem just around the corner. In every case, however, one finds a specifically adapted algorithmic solution applied to a well-defined and narrowly conceived problem. The engineers and programmers who produce these AI systems are to be commended for their insight and creativity. They are building a library of AI applications. But all such applications, even when considered collectively and extrapolated in the light of an ever-increasing army of programmers equipped with ever more powerful computers, get us no closer to computers that achieve, much less exceed, human intelligence. For a full-fledged AI takeover, think Skynet or HAL 9000, to become a reality, AI needs more than a library of algorithms that solve specific problems. An AI takeover needs a higher-order master algorithm with a general-purpose problem-solving capability, able to harness the first-order problem-solving capabilities of the specific algorithms in this library, and adapt them to the widely varying contingent circumstances of life. Building such a master algorithm is a task on which AI's practitioners have made zero headway. The library of search algorithms is a kludge. It simply brings together all existing AI algorithms, each narrowly focused on solving specific problems. What's needed is not a kludge, but a coordination of all these algorithms, appropriately matching algorithm to problem across a vast array of situations. A master algorithm that achieves such coordination is the holy grail of AI. But there's no reason to think it exists. Certainly, work on AI to date provides no evidence for it. AI, even in its current outer reaches, automated vehicles perhaps, still focuses on narrow, well-defined problems. Absence of evidence for such a master algorithm might prompt defenders of strong AI to dig in their heels. They say, give us more time, effort, and computational power to find such a master algorithm, and we'll solve it. But why should we take their protestations seriously? We simply have no precedent or idea of what such a master algorithm would look like. Essentially, to resolve AI's master algorithm problem, supporters of strong AI must come up with a radically new approach to programming, perhaps building machines by analogy with humans in some form of machine embryological development. Such possibilities remain pure speculation for now. The computational literature on no-free-lunch theorems and conservation of information, see the work of David Wolpert and Bill McCready on the former, as well as that of Robert J. Marks and myself on the latter, imply that all problem-solving algorithms, including such a master algorithm, must be adapted to specific problems. Yet a master algorithm must also be perfectly general, transforming AI into a universal problem solver. The no-free-lunch theorem and conservation of information demonstrate that such universal problem solvers do not exist. Yet, what algorithms can't do, humans can. True intelligence, as exhibited by humans, is a general faculty for taking wide-ranging, diverse abilities for solving specific problems and matching them to the actual and multifarious problems that arise in practice. Such a distinction between true intelligence and machine intelligence is nothing new. Descartes and Leibniz understood it in the 17th century. Descartes put it this way in his Discourse on Method: "While intelligence is a universal instrument that can serve for all contingencies, machines have need of some special adaptation for every particular action. From this, it follows that it is impossible that there should be sufficient diversity in any machine to allow it to act in all the events of life in the same way as our intelligence causes us to act." Just to be clear, I'm no fan of Descartes. My own philosophical sensibilities have always been Platonic, and I regard much of his philosophy as misguided. For example, his undue emphasis on philosophical doubt and the havoc it created for metaphysics. Even so, I do think this observation hits the nail on the head. Indeed, it is perhaps the best and most concise statement of what may be called AI's master algorithm problem, namely, the total lack of insight and progress on the part of the computer science community to construct a master algorithm, which Descartes calls a universal instrument, that can harness the algorithms AI is able to produce and match them with the problem situations to which those algorithms apply. Good luck with that. I'm not saying it's impossible. I am saying that there's no evidence of any progress to date. Until then, there's no reason to hold our breath or feel threatened by AI. I'm more concerned that we may embrace the illusion that we are all machines and thereby denigrate our humanity. In other words, the worry is not that we'll raise machines to our level, but rather that we'll lower our humanity to the level of machines. For instance, go to McDonald's these days, and you'll find that orders are taken not by humans, but by responsive automated displays. Rather than view this change from human to machine order takers as a triumph of AI, we should see it as a case of human intelligence being minimally taxed by order taking, and thus replaced, in a given instance, by a machine. Instead of lamenting that machines are encroaching on our work, we should rather seek more challenging work and the skills and education to handle it. The Walter Bradley Center needs to be a place where the best philosophical and scientific arguments against the reduction of human to machine intelligence are aired. I've sketched out one such argument here: the obstacles to producing a master algorithm of the sort that strong AI seems to demand. But other arguments against this reduction can be made as well, whether from metaphysics, consciousness, language, quantum mechanics, Chinese rooms, Gödel's theorem, etc. I don't regard all these arguments as being of equal merit, but they are worth exploring, articulating, and bringing into conversation with the supporters of a materialist reduction of mind. Yet, as I've emphasized, the Walter Bradley Center needs to do more than simply argue for a qualitative difference between human and machine intelligence. Indeed, if we are right and such a qualitative difference exists, then people already understand at some deep level of the soul that they are more than machines. The bigger challenge for the Walter Bradley Center, then, is to help us live effectively with machines. In that regard, we are not Luddites. Failures of AI give us no reason to celebrate. We want to encourage AI's full development, albeit within the bounds of a life-affirming ethics. AI, like any technology, can be abused, as when it is put in the service of the porn industry. At the same time, as we want to encourage AI's full development, we also want to encourage humanity's full development. Ours is not a cyborg vision, in which humanity and technology meld into an indistinguishable whole. Rather, we want to maintain our full humanity in the face of technological progress. Machines must be and forever remain our servants. Interestingly, the impulse to make machines our masters comes less from strong AI than from totalitarians who see in a machine takeover a means of social control, a control exercised not by machines, but through machines, as in the surveillance state. For that reason, the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence exists to clarify the limits of machine intelligence, to understand intelligence as it exists in nature, preeminently among humans, and above all, to chart fruitful paths for humans to thrive in a world of automation brought on by AI. It's really this latter aspect of the center that will define its success and impact. It's one thing to exchange arguments and critiques with the defenders of strong AI, but the real challenge for this center is to help build an educational and social infrastructure conducive to productive human-machine interaction. The point is not simply to talk and critique, it is to do and build. Accordingly, the Walter Bradley Center will need to emphasize the following themes. Digital wellness. How can we maintain our peace of mind as machines become more and more a part of our lives, an issue already of grave concern as social media compete with face-to-face human interactions? Education. How should we be educated? What topics do we need to study? What skills do we need to attain? And what are the most effective modalities for delivering education so that we can stay ahead of machines, living lives engaged in meaningful full-time work despite the continuing rise of automation? Appropriate technologies. How do we ensure that people have the technologies they need, technologies increasingly affected by AI, that will allow them to thrive individually and in community rather than as cogs in an impersonal, mechanized organizational system? Entrepreneurship. How do we harness technologies to build wealth-creating enterprises, businesses, so that people, especially in the developing world, can escape poverty and become self-sufficient? The impact of the Walter Bradley Center will depend on the degree to which it can effectively advance these themes. Each of these themes, taken individually, is significant, but jointly they define the unique focus of the center and how it can help make the world a better place. I'm optimistic that the center's impact will be substantial and even groundbreaking. That was an excerpt of remarks given by William Dembski at the launch of the Discovery Institute's Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. To learn more about the initiative, go to centerforintelligence.org. That's centerforintelligence.org. This is Andrew McDermott. Thanks for joining me for another edition of ID the Future. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.